This is Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Ben Johnson.
Ben Silberman is Chief Executive Officer of Pinterest. Evan Sharp is Chief Creative Officer. They're also founders of the company, and I'm speaking with them in their new, brand new New York offices. Hi, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having us. So you announced last week that most of Pinterest's user base is outside of the U.S. Can you talk about that? Why that is?
Yeah, I mean, that's a really exciting milestone for us. When Pinterest launched, it was primarily a U.S. service, and a big focus for us over the last year has been making the service more relevant for people outside of the U.S. So we just crossed that milestone a couple weeks ago, so mm-hmm. The majority of our users are outside.
That's a big job, right, trying to make your content relevant for people on a personal level in different parts of the world, right?
It is. It's challenging. You know, we've always thought of Pinterest as, a global catalog of ideas. And that catalog's only as good as the ideas that you see and whether they're right for you.
Yeah.
So making sure that somebody who opens up Pinterest in France or in Germany or Brazil sees ideas that are in their language that are relevant to them, that's been a big focus for us.
Do you guys both use it? I assume you do, right? You must.
Yeah, we both use the product.
How do you use it?
I actually use it for all sorts of things. I love cooking, so I use it to save recipes.
Uh-huh.
I got two little kids, so I use it to keep track of fun activities we can do together, things like that.
What's a recipe that you made recently thanks to Pinterest?
I made a roast chicken
all right.
A couple weeks ago, which turned out pretty well.
Nice.
I was happy. More importantly, wife was happy with how it turned out.
Very nice. What about you, Evan?
Well, my background is in design and architecture,
uh-huh.
And so I tend to use Pinterest for, I guess I'd say, creative projects in those fields. So uh-huh. I save a whole spectrum of things, you know, things I want my house to look like, how I want to redecorate my apartment, you know, ideas for my next photography project. But I use it overall as a place of inspiration, right, both for my daily life but also for my, I guess, creative life.
Public or private?
Both. So I started out all public, and I still pin, you can go see, obviously, I still pin all the time to uh-huh. public boards. But, you know, we launched something called Secret Boards several years ago, which is a way to kind of save inspiration without anyone knowing about it. And I now have a lot of stuff that's secret as well. And so it's a mixture.
All right. Well, I won't ask you about the secret boards, but it's interesting to learn that you do both. How do you guys think about maintaining the strength of the communities overseas that you're trying to create? Getting super pinners in places where you aren't yet or are just trying to expand to?
Well, I'd say several years ago, we made what we thought was a relatively significant investment, and we built teams within the five countries we're the most focused on outside the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
which are the United Kingdom, France, Germany, Japan, and Brazil. And so each of those five markets has a local Pinterest office staffed with people who live in that country, from that country, who understand that culture mm-hmm. very deeply. And because Pinterest is such a culturally specific product, you know, we've invested a lot in those teams having local agency over who they pick and market to be kind of the face of Pinterest. So we have people there who work with our influencers, who work with businesses and brands within the market, and their job is to kind of represent how effective Pinterest is as a product in market, and to tie those tastemakers into our product experience so that if you're Japanese and you sign up for Pinterest in Japan, you see Japanese ideas, not American ideas that look Japanese. It's a very big difference.
Mm. Evan, I discovered today that my wife is an avid Pinterest user. I had no idea.
Yes.
So I don't know why she was hiding that secret from me. But she's a librarian, and she finds craft projects for the library on Pinterest. But she doesn't – she's not a user. She doesn't have a profile. She just uses it basically for search and to generate ideas. Is this kind of person why you don't want to be considered a social network? And how do you make money off of people like my wife who are just searching for ideas, not actually signing up for the service?
Well, I think when we talk about Pinterest, we describe it as the world's catalog of ideas.
Uh-huh.
And when you think about a catalog, you know, the goal of a catalog is not to be interesting is to help you do something, right? And so a lot of our mission as a company isn't just to help you discover a new idea through search.
Sure.
It's to actually help you go do that idea. And it sounds like maybe your wife is doing some of those things she's finding.
Yeah, she was making monkey finger puppets this weekend. I think she probably found them on Pinterest.
Very typical use case. No, just kidding. But I think that the idea that we can help people not just find things online, but then get them offline and doing those things in their daily life, actually cooking those meals or, you know, decorating their apartment or throwing a party. Mm-hmm. I think that's really at the core, not only of what's valuable about Pinterest for our user base, but of course, how we're going to make money as well. If people are deciding to do things on Pinterest, that's really valuable for the businesses that are kind of creating a lot of those ideas in the first place.
Mm. What's the oddest use case or Pinterest community that you've seen?
Whew. That's not fair. I don't know. I mean, I think there's a whole cult of people who mod out motorcycles in ways that are totally spectacular and unexpected. And I found when I stumbled across that kind of part of Pinterest, it really blew my mind because it runs counter to all the stereotypes I've heard in the United States about Pinterest just being for, you know, crafts or for women. There's a huge number of men who use the service, and they're using it for things like, you know, modding motorcycles. So I think that was really surprising.
Ben, can you give me a breakdown on the demographics of users? Can you give me a sense of, you know, that, like Evan just noted, there's a stereotype that mostly women use Pinterest. Can you talk about what the real numbers are at all?
Well, we don't do a lot of specific numbers. We announced recently that we'd crossed 100 million users around the world, that more than half of those users are outside the U.S., the majority of people signing up are outside the U.S. as well, not surprisingly. And I'll say that the portion of men using the service is increasing all the time. And our job with anyone who signs up, you know, man, woman, U.S., outside of the U.S., is to make sure that when they open Pinterest, they find ideas that they can use in their everyday life. And that's what our whole company has been really focused on, building the technology and designing the product to do just that.
Any kind of split information you can give me, men versus women? Women still the majority?
Women are still the majority, but we see that gap closing, especially, you know, as new people sign up.
And is it closing more abroad than it is at home, or?
It is. I think the portion of men signing up internationally is higher, but I think it'll be an increasing focus for us over time.
You guys are really good at collecting images, not always as good at having information about those images. I know you're working on providing purchase information, but are there other ways that you might link the image to information about how to create the products in them? Evan?
Yes, I think, well, it's an interesting question because we're sitting here across the street from, you know, the New York Public Library picture collection. There's a banner outside. You know, and I think a lot of what's great about Pinterest for our user base is that it is about images and it is about browsing ideas that are visual. Uh-huh. And that's just a very different experience. But to your point, if once you find a great idea, a great image, right, there isn't enough information to actually do it, then we feel like we failed at our mission as a company. And so a lot of our initiatives around, say, international growth, right, where we're trying to localize what you see, show you a Japanese recipe if you live in Japan, they're around making those things more actionable and having more information, so that you can actually do those ideas that you discover. You know, we have a whole suite of features and initiatives that we're building at the company to address that issue. But I do think it's the core part of the future that we're trying to build, not just having images and information, but actually enriching that from our user base.
You're currently in this period where I think you're trying to monetize a little bit more. Does that connect to what you're talking about?
The easier it is to make a good decision for your life on Pinterest when you find something you want to do, the better our business will be and the better the product will be for you as a user. And so I do think it's part of that journey for us, that monetization journey, but it's also part of making the product really effective. And so I don't see a compromise there.
So can you play out like a specific scenario of what you're talking about?
Sure. I mean, recently, I think last year, we launched what we call buyable pins in the United States, right? And that's when you come across a product on Pinterest, a lot of them now have a buy button, and you can buy them right there without leaving our service, and it'll show up at your door, you know, a day or two later. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just one use case, but you can imagine other ways of making the things on Pinterest more actionable. But there, with the buyable pins, right, you come across an idea, right? You'll see information about that product, the size, the fit, things like that. And then you can make a decision about whether or not to buy it and make it part of your everyday life. And that's the journey we want to take you on across the whole spectrum of categories of things you can do on Pinterest.
Ben, do you feel like you guys have an edge on a lot of other companies because of just how relevant the advertising appears to be. Or you guys, I know, have a lot of advertisers kind of coming back and re-upping, and you've kind of focused your efforts on how you're delivering advertising on the platform, right?
Yeah, you know, we're still early, but you know, revenue last year grew 5x from the prior year. And the feedback we get from advertisers is that they're really excited about it. I think compared to a lot of other services, there's a real alignment between what regular users are there to do, which is to discover ideas, and what businesses have in mind, which is to have their products and services discovered. And that the fact that those two things are aligned, I think, makes the experience a lot less jarring than other services, where maybe the point is to be doing something fun or interacting with your friends, and that's kind of at odds with the goal of an advertiser, which is to grab your attention away from that and sell you something.
How do you see that playing out over the next 3 years? How do you see this changing?
Well, you know, I think already the majority of the ideas that people find in Pinterest were put up there by businesses. So I think that's a really, really solid foundation. But to what Evan shared earlier, kind of we're on a path to make each of those ideas even more actionable and useful in your life. So if you used Pinterest a few years ago, we always had links back to where you could get more information. But over the last few years, we've added more and more data to help you. So recipes now have the ingredients. If it's a location, you can see it on a map. If it's a product, you can see the price and you can hit buy. And we intend to kind of extend that farther and farther over the next few years.
We're in your new New York offices. How come you guys are here?
This is actually the first time I've been in this office. Yeah, we're here partially to talk to folks like you and to partners. We're also going to be attending the Met Gala, which I think, I don't know, my friends and my sisters, my parents are probably mind-boggled. me, if you knew me personally, that I'd be there. But
sure.
You know, this year the theme of the gala is fashion and technology, and fashion is really core to Pinterest. It's one of the top reasons people use it to get inspiration for what they wear every day. And so we're really excited to help out with the event. People have been creating inspiration boards for the event, and it'll be an adventure, I think, for both of us.
Why are your offices here? Like, why did you build these new offices here? Why is it important for your company to be in New York as well as on the West Coast?
Well, a lot of the next chapter of the business is building a sustainable advertising business, and a lot of advertisers are here in New York. You know, we also have offices in Chicago to have a direct connection with advertisers there. That's why we're here.
Are you guys profitable?
Well, we don't disclose any specific revenue figures, but revenue has been growing really nicely, and it's certainly a goal, obviously, for the company to be able to forward invest in its own future.
So about a year ago, you guys were valued at $11 billion. Now private funding is kind of contracting, and at the same time, some of the IPO activity over the past, I don't know, however long now, has been kind of slow, and some companies have come in under their goals. How and when do you make that decision whether or not to go public?
Well, you know, we haven't discussed any plans publicly. But look, I think that it's a business decision based on how predictable your business is and how important it is to have external capital to fund your future initiatives. The good news is part of the reason that we raised kind of a meaningful amount of money was so we could operate the business without relying on external funding for the foreseeable future. And as the business continues to scale, that business, I think we'll be in a really good position regardless of where the external markets are.
If you had your druthers, would you stay private as long as possible, or would you get to the point where you're ready to jump into the public market?
I think that there's a reason a lot of consumer internet companies go public at some point, and they'll use that capital to forward invest in the business rapidly. So I think that's something that, like, we've watched a lot of other great companies do.
But how do you be?
It's not sort of like an end in and of itself, right?
Right.
It's not like the objective is not to go public. The objective is to be able to continue investing and building the catalog of ideas and helping people kind of discover things for their regular life.
How do you become Facebook and not Twitter?
Well, I think Facebook's done two things really, really well. They built products that a whole bunch of people find value in.
Yep.
And they've made it really simple for for advertisers to get real value from their advertising products. And, you know, I think that whole company deserves a ton of credit for how well they've executed against that.
Evan, can you talk about where the company is headed in the next few years from your perspective and your role?
Sure. I mean, you asked me earlier about, you know, our framing that we're not a social network. And I think, you know, the difference for me between a social network and Pinterest is that Pinterest is really useful. And that's a big difference. And I think a lot of what we want to do with both the product we're building and the brand is help people, you know, make better decisions in their everyday lives by giving them access to new ideas and new possibilities. And we want to do that for everybody, no matter where they live, you know, what their gender is, what their interest is, and what's going on in their life. And so I think the vision is really clear, and the next few years are about executing that in a really effective, really meaningful way around the world.
Does that mean you are thinking about ways to go beyond the static image and get into video, for instance, things like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I think that's an obvious next step for us. We've talked a lot about the media we have today, a lot of its images, some of its moving images. We do have things like cinematic pins, which are pins that have motion built into them.
Mm-hmm.
Video is an obvious next step, and we're thinking about that right now.
Everybody's really excited about it right now. Do you think that that excitement is warranted?
I do. You know, I think this is the first time in history that everyone can kind of make images and videos really simply, mm-hmm. and it's unlocking, you know, ideas and access to ideas all around the world that would otherwise not be digital, not be transferable.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a big opportunity for businesses like ours to make that process really simple and to harness the power of these new kinds of media to help people live better, more informed lives.
How do you think, how do you imagine video maybe sort of living on Pinterest even more than it does now with these, the moving pins?
Sure. You know, I think... Well, I think when you think about a search engine, like a typical search engine,
mm-hmm.
you're often going there to find out an answer, right? What is this? How far is it from San Francisco to New York? And mm-hmm. it gives you a very objective answer. A place like Pinterest is different. It's about discovering ideas. It's about not just the what, but the how. And when I think about the how, I think video is a really effective medium for not just showing you an objective answer, but actually showing you a process of how to cook something, how to do a hair, how to do your hair, how to do a certain wardrobe. And so for us, it's going to be a really powerful medium when we unlock it properly.
Artificial intelligence, a lot of people are talking about that right now. Do you see any applications of AI to what you guys do? Or are you already using some forms?
I like that question. You know why? I like that question because one of my favorite things about Pinterest is that we don't need artificial intelligence. We already have a lot of human intelligence. If you have a, if you want an idea about what to cook for dinner, one way you can get an idea is you can ask an artificial intelligence. But the way we think we want to solve that, right, is to connect you with other human beings who share your taste and help you understand what they would cook for dinner. And we think that's much more effective than trying to build some artificial intelligence. And so we're constantly synthesizing all of the human curation information we have with technology and using the combination to help give you the best ideas for your life.
So you have, but you have to be using some machine learning in terms of how you surface information for people, right?
Of course, you know, we've built, I think, world-class machine learning over the last 5 years. But when you say artificial intelligence, to me, that implies not just a technology, it implies a user experience.
Mm.
And I think on Pinterest, the user experience needs to feel human. You need to feel like you're connected with another human being who shares your taste, whether or not you know who they are. That's a very different experience, and I think we're very invested in building that more human experience.
All right, Ben, last chance. Weird pin board that you've seen.
Weird pin board that I've seen. Well,
no pressure. If the answer is no, it's fine.
Well, this weekend, I was looking for posters for my kids' room.
Okay.
I came across this poster I really liked. It was like a fish with a shark fin tied on the back.
Okay.
And then I looked at where that had been repinned, and I found somebody that had been collecting an extraordinarily large collection of fish art.
Fish art.
And I was really surprised. And the funny thing is I literally have experiences like that every day on Pinterest. I'll see something that I think is a little bit unusual, and I'll find that there's somebody for whom that is like the centerpiece of what they care about. And so I have a dream of someday finding that person and visiting their apartment in the hopes that floor to ceiling. There's just fish art all over the place.
Leading you to the rabbit hole every day, Pinterest. Ben Silberman is CEO and Evan Sharp is CCO. Gentlemen, thank you for talking with me.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming.